Well, it wasn't exactly an NBA playoffs that we're going to remember forever. There weren't too many great moments, but look, we got a Game 7, Lakers and the Celtics, and what more can you ask for? Welcome to the Basketball Podcast on CBSSports.com. Adam Azer and Greg Urbano here to wrap up Game 7, which the Lakers win 83-79. They win their 16th NBA championship. That's one less than Boston. Greg, you're about to head out to vacation. You're going to Las Vegas.
Yes.
So you had a good night last night watching that game, and it's only going to get better for you.
Great time. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not out in Vegas for Game 7 to be able to enjoy those festivities. But, yeah, great game in the closeness of it. I think, you know, when we watch how it was played, poorly played offensively, both teams, though, the effort on the defensive end was there. You know, we're going to look, obviously, at why we see the Lakers winning this game by four, but you know the big thing we'll talk about, Kendrick Perkins being out of this game, obviously made a big impact on the rebounding numbers. And in a four-point game, rebounding is a big, big edge.
Right, 83-79, not exactly a lot of offense here. Kobe Bryant was 6 of 24. He had 15 rebounds. Pau Gasol was 6 of 16. Paul Pierce struggled from the field. Everybody struggled from the field pretty much. Yep. Ray Allen had a really bad game offensively. If it had not been a Game 7, I don't think I would have enjoyed it, but I really did enjoy it. It was so physical. All right, I got a few things before we get into the actual game. National anthem, what'd you think? I didn't like it. I thought Christina Aguilera missed a couple of notes, not going to lie. Yeah. Could have been better.
Wasn't great.
PA announcer.
Wow, I had to even contact you to tell you, the PA announcer for the Lakers. The Lakers, one of the two biggest entities in the NBA.
The PA announcer they have for the Los the Angeles most Lakers speaks boring. Like this.
Exactly. Yeah. When he announces Kobe Bryant, there's no emphasis to the name. I mean, every other arena you go to.
And at guard. Yeah,
it's Kobe just Bryant.
Kobe
That's
Bryant.
It. You know, it's really just a standard PA guy, which you would not expect in L.A. You would expect the excitement and the energy, but really just didn't come from the PA guy. It comes from the players, fortunately, for them.
I didn't think the fans were too into it until, like, the third quarter.
Yeah, well, we talked about it. Game 7 and Staples Center, not too many real fans can afford those tickets. And a lot of that is made up just of the L.A. crowd that wants to be at an event, not specifically a Lakers game.
How about we break down the game?
Let's go for it.
Let's do it. First of all, Kobe Bryant. He wins the Finals MVP. More on that later. But did you think he had a good game, a great game, a bad game? 6 of 24, as I mentioned. He had 15 rebounds. I thought he played very well defensively. The shot selection, curious. 2 assists, 23 points overall. Your thoughts on Mr. Bryant?
It was his worst offensive game of the entire playoffs. I don't think there's any doubt about that if you watch him throughout. I thought this was the best he's played in a stretch of his career. In these games
leading up to the finals.
I think, you know, when you look at the way Boston defended him, they made it hard on him. I mean, the teams that they played prior to Boston really couldn't zone just in on Kobe. They allowed him to kind of get off, but also distribute, and he did that. Kobe was very good at distributing the ball.
I'm talking before this game.
And then you look back at Game 7, and in the first quarter, what I thought was he just wants to lead the game in scoring. He wants to be the guy who has 30 tonight.
He even sort of admitted that. He said he was pressing, trying a little bit too hard.
Yeah, over-dribbling. I mean, Jeff Van Gundy talked about it throughout the night, just dribbling a little too much, trying to get to the lanes where, really, Boston was kind of forcing him into double teams, and he would oblige and dribble into them. And fortunately for the Lakers, in that fourth quarter, Kobe played a much better quarter. He certainly, and I think probably this was handed down from Phil Jackson, the offense was run through Powell most of the fourth quarter, but Kobe did a better job of, instead of handling the ball, get it to Fisher, move off some screens, get the ball while you're moving. And, you know, in general, I think as you're going to continue to talk about Kobe, this was the worst game he probably played in the playoffs offensively. However, to get 15 rebounds, to play the defense, the type of defense that he did, he made up for that. Now, I'm not going to say that, you know, this was a game where you expect Kobe to have 30 points, so he's going to really just show up in a different way. I didn't expect him to have 15 rebounds. I expected him to have 30 points. So the fact that he can do something else besides score obviously helped him out, but the rest of his team really stepped up and allowed them to win that championship.
He's going to get a lot of credit for the rebounds and for passing the ball. Ron Artest said, he passed me the ball. He never passes me the ball. Ron Artest hit a big three-pointer, and Artest was great in this game, particularly on defense where he really frustrated Paul Pierce. And Pierce ended up 5 for 15, 2 of 3 from downtown, 6 of 6 from the line, 18 points for Pierce, but not an efficient game for Paul Pierce. Now, I did not think Bryant played very well, but he could have had a terrible game. He salvaged it by getting the rebounds and playing the defense. Now, if you want to say he passed the ball and he distributed the ball, I'd have to disagree because he had two assists. He had two assists. He was selfish. He was vintage Kobe Bryant. He really was. And he even took a terrible shot with about 40 seconds left. They just dribbled the shot clock down and took a long three-pointer, and it didn't go in. It was exactly what we've been criticizing Kobe for all season long. But they don't get to this point without him. He was great in the playoffs, and he contributed in other positive ways in Game 7.
And you can't blame him for pressing in a Game 7. I mean, that's mentally, he probably thought, I have to do this.
I can blame him for taking a fall-away jumper with a double team on him in the first quarter. That was a horrible shot. Terrible. I can blame him for over-dribbling and getting into the paint just recklessly. And, you know, I remember one time it actually ended up being an okay play for him, but it should have been a turnover. I can blame him for the way he played. He played poorly offensively. There's no doubt about it. But you do give him credit for the other things he did. What else stood out to you in this game? How about the rebounds, the offensive rebounds? 23 for the Lakers. Gasol had 9.
Yeah. I mean, you look at 23-8, you know, in offensive rebounding, 53-40 in total rebounds. As we said, in a four-point game, to have a 13-rebound advantage, that's why you won the game. There's no doubt about it.
They shot 32.5% and won.
Absolutely terrible. And, you know, obviously Boston didn't light up the scoreboard, but they played well enough to win this game, and that's got to be the most frustrating thing for them right now is knowing we were right there. We had the lead. We really let it slip away late in the game. And, you know, I couldn't see anything in my mind that made me think that the referees were favoring the Lakers in any way in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because you would think when they have that big of a free throw advantage, people are going to complain and say it was the referees. No, L.A., in that time of the game, they were the more aggressive team. They were moving the ball better, and they were creating these lanes in which Boston had to foul the players. So it wasn't anything where L.A. was handed that game late in the game, in which, you know, we've seen it happen before. So I wanted to make sure that I'm not watching L.A. just get these lucky calls.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And they did not. They earned these calls. And I would say just that fourth quarter, they looked like the team that knew how to close out a game like this.
They shot 20 more free throws, so it is worth looking at. That's a big, big difference. But you have to remember, they had so much more size. And Garnett was disappointing to me. He had two fouls. The second one he picked up was a bad call. But he had two early fouls, limited him a little bit in the first half. But just the rebounding effort for Kevin Garnett was extremely disappointing. He had 3.
But he was the best offensive guy all night. I mean, he was 8 for 13, one of the few people in the entire game to shoot over 50%.
Right, but the rebounding is what won them. Was what won the Lakers this game. And you have to look at Kevin Garnett there, and Rasheed Wallace pulled down 8 rebounds, but it wasn't a fair fight. And this is why I asked you this question. If Kendrick Perkins plays in game, let's say he pretty much missed game 6. He played 7 minutes. If he plays in game 6 and game 7, do the Celtics win this series? I say they do.
Well, if they play that game 7, the game they played last night, and the Lakers shoot as poorly as they did, play as poorly as they did, it looks to me that why wouldn't you say Boston would win that game?
Yeah.
They're certainly going to grab 2-3 more rebounds with Kendrick Perkins out there. They're going to eliminate some of these second chance points. They would. I mean, you can't say they're going to be closer. It was a 4-point game, so chances are if Kendrick Perkins played that game last night and it was played in the style, which is so much in favor of the Celtics, that's the way they play basketball. Half-court game, slow pace, keep it in the 80s, they probably would have won.
Yeah, I think they would have. And Rasheed Wallace got a lot of credit for the way he played. 5 of 11, 11 points, 8 rebounds. But his height, he just doesn't have what Perkins has. He's not as physical as Perkins. He played really hard. He left it all out there, you know, to use that cliche. But he was 1 of 4 from downtown. He had some open looks. And if he makes one of those 3 that he missed, maybe it's a different game. Ray Allen was 2 of 7 from 3. He was 3 of 14 overall. Ray Allen, now it's hard to criticize him too much because he did a really good job on Kobe.
Oh, great.
But you got to figure, I mean, if Ray Allen makes one of those shots
it's
that
tough.
He missed,
you
it's
have
a
no
different
legs.
Game.
When you have no legs to try and shoot a jumper like that, it's difficult when you're chasing Kobe as much as he was. And you look, both Allen and Pierce, they combined 8 for 29. You're thinking, how are we going to win like that? And then you look for the Lakers. Kobe and Pau Gasol combined 12 for 40. Both of these teams have to realize this was one of the worst offensive games they played all season. Obviously, L.A. is just happy to escape with the victory.
I would say that the Lakers did a pretty good job all series on Rajon Rondo. Rondo averaged 13.6 points, 7.6 assists, 6.3 rebounds. Good numbers, but the points and the assists were down from previous rounds. And then the key, he shot 26% from the free throw line, and he was just not an offensive threat. Not a good enough shooter, and this is what I've been saying, not a good enough shooter to consider him up there with the three best point guards in the NBA.
He's a point guard. He's not a shooting guard. He doesn't have to be a great shooter.
But they don't respect him offensively. They sag off of him.
Guys like Paul Pierce and Ray
Allen. He is a liability. He is an offensive liability in the half court.
You're kidding yourself.
In the half court.
To say he's a liability, he's one of the best players in the entire world.
In the half court, he is an offensive liability. They don't guard him.
That's not his fault.
It is his fault.
It's the guys around him who are not hitting shots.
You're so wrong. They don't guard him. They play off of him. They say dare him to shoot. They dare him to shoot. He's a liability offensively in the half court. He's a great fast court player. Might be a fast break player. Might be the best fast break point guard. One of the best. I mean, there are some really good ones. But the fact that he shoot just 26%. He was a liability
from
the free throw line. 26%.
Okay,
that's horrible.
Did they go to Hacker Rondo? It's not like that really impacted the game. He shot 2 free throws. He shot 6 for 13. I mean, this is not like he played a terrible offensive game. And he's not a terrible offensive player. His shot is getting better. Is it great? No. Is it respected? No. But this guy on the offensive end is not their go-to scorer. So for him to be blamed or to say, he's not good enough offensively, his job is to be a point guard, to rotate the ball, and to get it to Paul Pierce and Ray Allen. They need to shoot better. They shot 8 for 29.
I'm not saying he's not good enough to be a championship point guard. Obviously he is. He's already done it. But he's not good enough for me to consider him one of the best point guards in the
NBA. So you're saying you have a group of point guards
who
are the best.
Yeah.
And he's just below that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I put him in there with them. If you have him right below that, not a big deal. It's not like you're dropping him down.
No, of course not. He's a top five point guard.
I understand.
He's a top five point guard. I'd say he's better than Billups.
Absolutely at this point, yeah.
Yeah, Derrick Rose, that's another story. Yeah, they are two different players. But in the half court, that's a good question. If you have one possession in the half court, all right, not fast break.
You're relying on a guy to score. So I would want Rondo to pass the ball to Ray Allen rather than Rose over here. Derrick Rose to
I would rather have the ball in Derrick Rose's hands. That's what I'm saying.
I got you.
All right? Let's move on. And it was important that the Lakers had Kobe Bryant and Ron Artest because Bryant was able to guard Rondo, not all the time, but a lot, and Ron Artest was
able to guard Paul Pierce. So at the beginning of the year, we looked at the Artest addition to the Lakers. One of us liked it. One of us did.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
You didn't like it.
No, but it's worth noting that they also won a championship without him.
Yes, I know.
And he actually was...
But you think they could have won this championship with Trevor Ariza?
Why not? They won last year's with Trevor Ariza.
They played a better team in the Boston Celtics. They would not have won the championship with Trevor Ariza out there. Who would have guarded Paul Pierce? What would Trevor Ariza have done? Hit
he
a couple threes?
He probably would have guarded Paul Pierce.
Then that would have been terrible. Trust me. If you watch him play defense this season in Houston, that's not what he does. Okay, he's a guy that can run the floor. He can hit a three or two throughout the game. Ron Artest is an impact player on both sides
of
the ball.
Ron Artest had a better NBA Finals and a better Game 7 than the rest of his season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's get that. It's not like he was great
all
year.
That's all he was playing for all year, though.
It's not like he was great all year. It's not like this argument was settled.
People will say he wasn't great because he didn't shoot well, he didn't hit threes. All they wanted him to do was play defense and get to the Finals. That's what he did.
Fine. Whatever. No, he played great, and he deserved it, and he's the best interview in the world because I have no idea what he's talking
classic
about.
Classic, thanking his psychiatrist.
About. Yeah, that was really cool.
That was
great. Okay, greatest franchise in NBA history. Which one is it? The Lakers now have 16 NBA championships. The Celtics have 17. How do you separate them?
You let them play again next year. Let's bring it on next year. I mean, really, I would love to see it. I don't know that. If you look at the two teams, who's going to get there again next year? Obviously, the Lakers, you would say, Kobe and Power in place. Chances are they could get to the Finals. Boston has a lot of question marks there. So, you lose Coach Thibodeau, Doc Rivers, you're not sure what's going on with him. Ray Allen, same thing. So question marks abound in Boston, but it would be awesome to see them again to have that equalizer. It will not happen.
It won't happen, so just answer the question I asked you.
Who's the best? It's the team with the most championships. The team that had Bill Russell.
Stupid answer.
17-16. Right now, they're up one.
Such a dumb
answer. I don't like. What's your answer? That just because the Lakers won?
No, my answer is the Lakers because the Lakers. Well, first of all, it's interesting the way we rate these teams because if I asked you to rate NFL teams, you would go by Super Bowls, right? So you would go by post-merger AFL and NFL. However, a lot of, and most of the Celtics championships came before the ABA and the NBA joined. So you could look at them as two different eras and say the Celtics were better in one and the Lakers were better in the other. Or you can just look at it as a whole. 17 is not necessarily better than 16. It's pretty darn equal. Yeah. And they've both had success head-to-head. Now, my thing is the Celtics owned the 1960s. Since then, the Lakers have been better. The 80s, they were pretty much
even. They've had better players, too. I mean,
That's the other thing. They've had better players. They've had Kobe, Magic, Kareem, etc.
Shaq.
Yeah, I mean, they've had better players than the Celtics, who have had amazing players.
Yep.
It's really close. I would give it to the Lakers, but I couldn't really argue with anyone who
I mean, there's a
the
stretch,
Celtics.
You know, 90s.
That's
where,
the thing.
Where really
that
they were
was
terrible. Antoine Walker is your best player.
I wrote that down because that is what separated the two. Yeah. When I looked at the history, the Lakers didn't have a stretch like the Celtics in the 90s.
Yeah.
A small lull. The Celtics were pretty bad for a good amount of years, like 1993 on, a terrible decade for them. So, yeah, that's why I'd give it to the Lakers. But, hey, you can't take away
the fact
that
they dominated.
Well, it
was great that one's in the East, one's in the West.
It is great.
It's great.
It works out. And I also thought it was interesting that Kobe Bryant said this was the sweetest one because it happened against the Celtics.
Yeah. Well, I think anytime – the most recent one's always the sweetest one. I mean, let's be
real. That's a pretty candid quote.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty interesting that he said that. Did he deserve the Finals MVP?
I think so. I mean, yeah, it was close. You know, that – especially you look at Game 7 and you realize that it's not just Kobe and a bunch of clowns. It's Kobe and some really good players. Pau Gasol is one of these guys who is at the top of his position. No matter if you consider him a power forward or center, he's at the top right up there with the Dwight Howards of the world. So if you look at who else could have gotten it, I would put Pau up there. No one else really that you would put in the argument. I think Pau was maybe more consistent during the finals throughout the playoffs. I think, you know, when you look at a Finals MVP, I do think people think about the playoffs as a whole also. Kobe was just insane the way he played. So I wouldn't have been surprised had Gasol gotten it, nor would I have been upset. But for Kobe to get it, you know, I don't think that's a wrong decision.
I wouldn't have been upset, but I would have been surprised because I think we knew there was very little chance of the Lakers winning the championship and Kobe Bryant not winning the MVP. But let me just give out the numbers. All right, one player averaged 28.6 points. The other averaged 18.6 points. One averaged 8 rebounds. The other 11.6 rebounds. So Kobe
averaged 28 points.
Yeah, in the finals. So Kobe, because he had that 38-point game in Game 5. So Kobe averaged 10 more points. Pau Gasol averaged 3.5 more rebounds. Neither of those two stats are surprising. They averaged almost the same exact amount of assists. Kobe was just under 4. Pau was 3.7. Gasol had 2.6 blocks per game. Gasol shot almost 48%. Kobe Bryant shot 40%. Here's the most compelling argument to me, if you want to say that Pau Gasol, there are two arguments. Pau Gasol should have been the MVP. One, he had a better Game 7 than Kobe Bryant, in my opinion. Even though he struggled from the field, I thought he had a better
agree.
Game 7.
Absolutely.
Two, Kobe Bryant's two biggest scoring games were losses, Games 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. What does that say? Fluke?
Those other guys didn't really show up that night. You know, I mean, Kobe on those nights was insanely good. I mean, it wasn't like Kobe was being
a
ball hog on those nights. Yes, he was great. So, you know, to say that they lost those games and then to kind of take that away from Kobe's impact in this series, I don't know that I could do that. I just think, like you said, Pau played so good that if it were to be given to him, no one would complain.
Kobe would have complained.
I don't think he would have. I mean, maybe you know, at home.
Kobe is
to the
in
wife.
Love with his legacy.
But,
he
you
is
know,
in
I don't think
it.
He would mind kind of sharing that. He got the title. He's gotten MVPs before. I don't think he'd mind knowing that Pau is at least acknowledged.
Okay, well, here's the big issue here. So many people are calling him the best player in the world. It's making me crazy.
I
respected journalists. I mean, experts.
Mike Wilbon, right after the game was over, said there's no doubt Kobe Bryant's best player in the world.
I think Ken Berger said it in his column, too.
A lot of people said it yesterday.
I don't agree. I still don't agree.
Here's what I would say to people that claim Kobe's the best. If you took Kobe off the Lakers and put LeBron there, what would happen?
They'd win.
They'd win.
Of course
absolutely.
They'd win.
They'd win. So, you know, right now Kobe has the best situation, and he looks like the best because he's winning championships. But if anyone were starting a team, or if anyone was not starting a team for the long run, for just one game.
For one game.
They'd pick LeBron.
Thank you.
Anyone that really knows what they're talking about
would
pick LeBron because the physical nature of him. Yes, Kobe is fantastic at what he does, but he's not 6'8", pushing 6'9",
right,
with a frame of really an NFL wide receiver slash tight end.
Yeah, so I'd still go with LeBron, but congratulations to Kobe for winning his fifth championship. Now, people say he's the best Laker of all time. Did we just forget about Magic Johnson? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, you look at both of these guys, and they had pretty good players around them, right? Kobe had Shaq for three of these. He got two, I don't want to say on his own, because Powell was
there with him. No, two with Gasol.
And then, obviously, Magic had great talent around him. So, I don't know. I mean, they play two different positions, so it's very hard to say this one's better than that. I would always go with the point guard who can all of a sudden play center, get a 42-point triple-double. That's who I would go with.
Magic's the best Laker.
Well, the things that he could do at the point guard position. And then if your center gets hurt, he could sub in at that position, dominate the game. I mean, just everything that you would want from a basketball player, Magic could do it. And he was as unselfish as anyone because that's what he loved to do. He loved to make the good pass.
Overall, as we look at this series and this NBA Finals and this NBA playoffs, I'm glad we got a Game 7. That was a lot of fun.
We needed that. We needed a climactic finish.
Yeah.
Definitely.
To take us into what's going to be the craziest summer in arguably basketball history.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff's going to go down. Any final thoughts for you?
No, like you said, this season as a whole, I don't think this was probably the best basketball season we've seen. The playoffs weren't really overly exciting, but I loved watching the Thunder this year. I had a really good time watching the Thunder play. Really can't wait to see what Kevin Durant has in store in the next couple of years. I think he's going to be one of the best we've ever seen offensively. Let's see him do defensively, you know, what he should be able to do with that size and with the length.
Started to show it.
Yep.
Started to show it.
You know, when he wants to, he can do that. So I'd love to love to see how they progress next season. And then also, I felt like this year I was robbed of one of my favorite players in Chris Paul. I didn't get to see a lot of him this year.
Yeah.
I love watching Chris Paul play basketball. I can't wait to see him play again next year.
Yeah, I completely agree. I am mildly excited for the NBA draft. I'm not in love with this draft class. I don't know why.
You got one great pick, and then who knows?
No, I think Evan Turner is going to be really good.
Yeah.
And obviously there will be some other guys who are really good, but I would be more excited about point guard drafts now, like last year's draft, which was supposed to be bad, but now we see how easy it is to play point guard in the NBA. So if you get a bunch of guards, that's what I'd be really excited for. There's a lot of big men in this draft. Yeah, I don't know. At least the upper echelon players like Cousins and Favors and Monroe. All right, well, we'll have more coverage for you surrounding the NBA draft, surrounding NBA free agency, surrounding Greg's adventures in Las Vegas.
Vegas and L.A.
Yeah, come back with some good stories.
I'm hoping to.
Yeah, and pictures.
Yes.
Hangover style.
Yes.
Pictures.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks a lot, everybody, for listening. If you want to send us an email, it's cbsipodcastfeedback@cbs.com. CBSI, that's the letter I, podcastfeedback@cbs.com. For Greg Urbano, I'm Adam Azer. The Lakers win it. See you later.